friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're going to continue through talking about Song of Songs. And as I was reflecting back on the message that our campus life pastor, Jason Phillips, shared with our church the past week, one theme kept rising to the surface for me: the relationship between vulnerability, shame, and intimacy. Whether you're married, single, thriving in your relationships, or carrying some deep relational wounds, I think the passage we're looking at has something important to say to all of us. We're going to be in Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 2, through chapter 6, verse 3. That's kind of the area we were exploring in the message this past weekend. But rather than reading the entire section, I want to focus on a few verses that I think capture the heart of what's happening here. You can always go back and read this in your own Bibles. But listen to Song of Songs, chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. The woman says, "I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me. When he spoke, I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer." Then a few verses later in chapter 6, verse 3, it says this again, which we've seen a couple times: "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." The whole scene feels dreamlike, right? The woman hears her beloved knocking. There's hesitation. By the time she opens the door, the moment has passed, and she searches for him, longing for connection. But by the end of the passage, she is reminded of something deeper than a missed opportunity. Their relationship remains intact. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. What strikes me is that the tension in this story really isn't about a locked door. It's about the vulnerability required to let someone in all the way. Jason pointed this out in his message. One of the recurring themes underneath the poetry is the way that shame can interfere with intimacy. Like, we don't know exactly why the woman hesitates. I mean, it's a poem, right? So we don't get all of the backstory. It doesn't tell us. But we do know something about ourselves. We know how easy it is to keep people at arm's length. We know how easy it is and how much safer sometimes it feels to hide. Right? And most of us aren't hiding behind literal doors. We're hiding behind other things that look more presentable and acceptable, behind busyness or defensiveness or self-sufficiency, distraction, the carefully curated version of ourselves we want to present to others. The reality is that intimacy always requires vulnerability. And we've been talking about this since week one. Whether it's in marriage, friendship, or just our relationship with God, being known feels incredibly risky, right? Because once someone sees the real us, they have the opportunity either to move towards us or away, right? And I think in our heart of hearts, we're like desperately afraid that people will always choose to move away from us. And that is why shame is so powerful. Shame doesn't simply tell us we've done something wrong. Shame tells us that we are what's wrong. It convinces us that if people really knew us, our failures, insecurities, our struggles, our regrets, they couldn't possibly love us. And when we believe that lie, we start building walls. Right? The irony is the very thing we're longing for, that deeper connection, is found on the other side of the vulnerability we are desperately trying to avoid. If you've ever noticed yourself becoming defensive when someone offers correction, withdrawing when you're hurt, or trying to maintain control because you don't want to appear weak, you've experienced this same dynamic. I mean, underneath those reactions is often a fear of being exposed. When the Bible story actually begins with a picture of humanity living without that fear. Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed in the garden. There was no hiding. There was no pretending, no image management. But when sin entered the world, their first instinct was to cover themselves and hide. That's what shame does. It pushes us into isolation. Throughout the scripture, God keeps moving towards his people, though, who are hiding. And that's what makes this image of the beloved knocking on the door in Song of Songs so powerful, right? The Christian story is not primarily about humanity searching for God. It's about God moving towards humanity. From the garden to the tabernacle to the incarnation of Jesus, we see a God who continually takes the initiative to restore the relationship. I mean, the kingdom of God is the story of a creator who refuses to abandon his creation. Even when we retreat behind locked doors, he keeps pursuing us with grace. And perhaps that's where this passage becomes deeply personal, right? Because I think many of us are comfortable with the idea that God loves people in general. We're just not always convinced that he loves us in particular. Like if we wonder if he knows what we're carrying. We wonder if he knows about our recurring struggle or a failure that we can't seem to forget. We wonder if he knows about the wounds that we've never fully processed. And the answer, uncomfortably so, is yes, he does. And yet he keeps knocking. Not to condemn, not to shame, not to expose us for the sake of humiliation, but to invite us into deeper healing. One of the most powerful images in the passage we looked at today is the, you know, beloved knocking on the door. And it reminds us of Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And this verse is often quoted in, you know, certain evangelistic type settings, but the principle applies here, right? Like Jesus does not force his way into our lives. He invites, he calls, and he patiently looks towards us. And maybe today there's something you've kept behind a locked door. It's a wound, a regret, a fear, a habit, a conversation you've been avoiding, a place where shame has convinced you that God would rather keep his distance. The gospel tells us a different story. The cross, Jesus willingly stepped down into our shame so that we would no longer have to live under the authority of shame. The Son of God allowed himself to be exposed, rejected, mocked, and crucified so that we could be welcomed, forgiven, and restored. The cross is God's declaration that your worst moments do not get the final word over your identity. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.